Blog Talk Radio.
Most of us would prefer to never receive. We receive these gifts to help us survive, come to terms with the aftermath of a traumatic or devastating experience, and then be able to go on and create a purposeful, meaningful, and happy life. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, love mentor and relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series, the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of Healing Through Love seminars, Love Lessons for the Soul, virtual summit packages, and Love Mastery Secrets Blueprint. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who keep proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Once a seasoned journalist, but now a distinguished scholar and practicing psychotherapist, Dr. Lori Nadel has immersed herself in the academic study of suffering, in addition to the depth of her own life story that it provides. When it comes to teaching how to get up after being knocked down, how to not just survive life's hardest blows, but eventually thrive. Nothing beats a teacher who has learned through personal experience and lots of training. Most people now don't have the tools to cope with disaster and trauma and hardship. Dr. Lori has helped so many people experience miraculous healings after devastating tragedy, trauma, and loss. Her new book, The Five Gifts, Discovering Hope, Healing, and Strength When Disaster Strikes, provides powerful insights, poignant stories, and tools to help us be prepared for any unexpected disaster or tragedy in life. So I'm delighted to welcome Dr. Lori Nadel. So welcome.
Hey, Dr. Erica, thank you so much for having me as your guest on the show. And I appreciate that very generous introduction.
You're most welcome. I did hear a little noise in the background, but it sounds better now. So please tell us about your own background, training, education, specific experience. What has led you to focus on a topic about devastation and loss and trauma and the gifts that we receive?
You know, that's a great question, and we could spend the whole show talking about it. But the short story is, I was a news writer, reporter in TV news for 20 years, and a field reporter. And you sit in a room every day, and there are monitors, you know, which show tragedies and plane crashes and bombings and earthquakes and people running around screaming. And I really got the sense that people who experienced something like that were going to need long-term support. In the late 80s, I changed careers after I burned out covering the Iran-Contra hearings, and I went on to write a best-selling book called Sixth Sense and use that to kind of jumpstart my research into the mind and specifically how the mind responds and how the mind, body, and spirit respond to what we call acute stress, which are sudden violent events. I went on to specialize in trauma, stress, and post-traumatic stress, and have been working with different populations since 1991.
So now, what led you to write this book, The Five Gifts, and then why do you call them gifts?
Well, the five gifts are really, I called them the five unbearable gifts, which is a title that Buddhist monks love and publishers hate, because if they're unbearable, nobody will want them. You know, and that's the inherent paradox. You know, do you want a million Twitter followers, or would you rather have humility? Nobody in this country wants humility. You know, we really don't want patience. and I personally am an extremely impatient person. So me writing about patience is like Taylor Swift writing about relationships that end happily ever after. I mean, it's incongruous. But I've managed to talk to people who really understand the nature of patience. Empathy, forgiveness, and growth are the five gifts. And they came to me during a period of acute stress after I lost my home to Hurricane Sandy. I was meditating, and an inner voice or a higher power of some kind whispered these five words and told me to write them down, and that they would help me to get through the ordeal that I was going through, which was financially totally catastrophic and traumatizing. And along with a million other people, I don't say or believe that, you know, it was happening to me personally, but that's another piece of the puzzle and how we recover. So the five gifts came to me during meditation, and I've been sharing them with people ever since.
So why don't you share a little bit about your experience during Hurricane Sandy?
Hurricane Sandy came on October 29th, 2012. I had my little dream beach cottage, which was flooded with 3.5 to 4 feet of canals and intercoastal waterway. My partner and I and the cat hid up in the attic, and when the tide receded, everything was covered with feces and raw sewage because the town sewer pump broke during the storm and the water supply was contaminated. At that point, I became a refugee and was homeless for about a month because there was no electricity and there was no way that I could live in the house because it was toxic. And eventually, I moved back to a family member's apartment nearby so I could deal with the insurance. And as I was looking around, I could see that people were angry and frightened. And I decided that I would offer to do a support group for people in the city. The city of Long Beach gave me the courtroom space to lead a weekly support group. And then I started a second one at St. James of Jerusalem, which was a church on the island, and ran those groups for 4 years. Do need long-term support, and that's really what led me to write the book. There are no shortcuts. And even though I have certain emotional first aid tools that can help diffuse some of the stress, it's a long and complex journey to use the five gifts, to draw upon the five gifts, so that you can stay calm even when 110 mile an hour wind is rattling your windows.
So you had that trauma a long time ago, or many years ago, and then you got this meditation that told you about the five gifts, and what led you to write the book at this point?
Well, I started the book before Hurricane Sandy because I had been traveling for 10 years. I spent part of each year in South America, different parts of South America, where I had been a field reporter in the 70s. And this time, over the decade from 94 to 2004, I spent time every year meeting and studying with shamans in different parts of the Southern Hemisphere. And they all had the same message, which is all of nature speaks. And the people in the north, are your relationship with nature is out of balance. And so nature is going to speak loudly. And when I started the proposal, the book was called All of Nature Speaks. And it was about the shaman's predictions, mostly about climate change, but just about turmoil in the environment. 3 or 4 months after I started writing, Hurricane Sandy spoke very loudly. And a few months later, I think it was 6 or 8 months later, I started working on the proposal. But it was difficult because I, too, was in survival with construction and regulations changing and survival issues, basically. So what happened was I put it away after about a year and a half of struggling with it. And then there was a truck bomb in Nice I think it was July, it was Bastille Day of, I think, 2015, 2016, and I decided to really work very hard on getting a proposal ready to sell. My agent, Lisa Hagen, was incredible, and my publisher, HCI Books, have also been incredible in supporting and backing the book.
So on another note, you talk about everybody needing, we all know about this, needing a go kit for an emergency. Like they always tell people for a hurricane to have a certain number of items ready. So what goes into what you call a mind-body go kit?
You know, mind-body go kit is something I wish I'd had when I was a refugee. But the reptilian brain, according to the late Dr. Paul McLean, we have a triune brain system that governs brain and behavior. So we think of the brain as really the left brain or the brain you took to school. The right brain thinks visually and in images. Your limbic system is where all of your emotions are stored. And your reptilian brain, which is at the base of the neck, is the brain of patterns, habits, routines, safety, and territory. So when you are going to be displaced or your life has been disrupted, it's very helpful to have a very small package, maybe even a big Ziploc bag with some things that are going to offer you comfort when everything around you feels unsafe. Some favorite pictures, a playlist of music, maybe some herbal tea, something like I have an old digital clock, an alarm clock that I bring with me. And if I have that, I could sleep on top of a table or a straw mat on the floor because when I look at the clock, I feel like I'm home, no matter where I am. So have a few objects which you can place around you that are going to give your reptilian brain a sense of, this is safe right here, right now. This is my spot, and I feel at home. It's actually very simple. And bring a lot of plastic bags and either index cards or a journal or a book with a lot of pens and pencils, because you're going to want to keep notes not only about what you're thinking and feeling, but who you spoke to and what their phone number is and hopefully the date and whether it's morning or afternoon, because you're going to have to go back. There will be a trail of phone calls, and it's very helpful if you just keep a record as you go along. Write down the name of each person you talk to and their phone number so you can refer back to it later. That will also give you peace of mind.
And I'm thinking, I just visited my cousin who had 3 strokes and went between a hospital and a rehab center back and forth. And she had a few little stuffed animals that made her happy. But now she's in her house. And I see the surrounding is beautiful and comforting. And I know she's going to heal.
It's important to have, to create a little space for yourself that is going to feel, comfortable. And, if you do have a beautiful place to go, of course, that's going to be even more comfortable.
All right. So I have another little question. So what's in your go kit for an emergency?
Peanut M&Ms and hypervigilance. I firmly believe that, some favorite food, even if it's, and of course I'm being a little bit tongue-in-cheek here, meals ready to eat, which people recommend for go kits, have an awful lot of chemicals and food dyes. So you might as well have something that you enjoy eating that's fun and that you can barter if you have to for flashlight batteries or water or something if you find yourself displaced or in a shelter. This is really not a joke because after Hurricane Sandy, it was several days before the Red Cross came and brought water and basic supplies. It happens to people every day. We're living in a turbulent cycle, and disasters of all kinds are on the rise, according to all the experts and studies. So we do need to have something that you can grab, in moderation, of course. That's going to make you feel maybe a little bit like a kid, like Cracker Jacks remind you of the ball game or potato chips, but don't fill your go kit with it. Just, a little snack here and there is really going to provide you with a little bit of comfort and will probably make it easier for you to avoid, alcohol consumption, which is not recommended.
Okay, so now I would like a few of the definitions from your perspective also. Trauma, acute stress, PTSD, what's the difference?
Oh, good question. Trauma is actually trauma means a life and death situation that you're exposed to, you survived, you witnessed, or someone you know was killed or wounded, or that you too were directly affected by a sudden violent event in which there was loss of life, or you came very close to loss of life. Acute stress is what you experience the first 2 or 3 months after that event. It's very similar to post-traumatic stress, and very often in the media it's mislabeled as post-traumatic stress, but it's not. These are normal reactions that you have if you're a normal person responding to an abnormal situation. So that would be acute stress, and it normally resolves on its own. Post-traumatic stress is if these issues and feelings, for example, sleep disturbance, stomach disorders, flashbacks, nightmares, avoiding triggers, for example. I've worked with some people now who've been in auto accidents and they have phobias about driving and about leaving their home. So that's very serious. So that avoidance, arousal, that feeling of hypervigilance, that somebody speaks too loudly and you feel like you're going to jump out of your skin, always being on the lookout for the next explosion, that's hypervigilance. And avoidance, arousal, and flashbacks, re-experiencing, are characteristics of PTSD. However, PTSD won't start until at least 6 months after the event, and sometimes it's a delayed stress reaction that can come up years later, as we see a lot with veterans as well.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to help someone who just recently experienced trauma, so what do you suggest the first words or steps that someone can say and do?
Well, I would suggest making sure that the person feels safe, asking, are you safe? What can I do to help you feel safe? Do we need to find a different spot for you? The second thing is to ask, is there something you need? Do you need water? Do you need food? What do you need help with? Can I make a phone call for you? So that's really the most important thing that you can ask. And also never to ask the person, how do you feel? Because that's actually kind of an offensive question to somebody who's in shock or who survived or who witnessed somebody getting killed. As my wonderful clinical supervisor, Paul Schweinler, says, how do you think I feel? It's an inappropriate question at that time. So what's more appropriate would be to say, I can't imagine what you're going through. Can I help?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot. That will really help to diffuse the shock. Also, let the person know that whatever they're experiencing is completely normal. If they're overwhelmed with feeling, or sometimes they're numb and have no feelings, and then they feel guilty because they're not feeling anything, that is also within the spectrum of a normal reaction after an encounter with disaster. Remember, an encounter with disaster is really an encounter with death. Whether you personally get that close to death, or you are the possibility of death is very near, or you witness or you learn of people dying around you because of the event, or a very close call, or if someone you know is killed. For example, students in Parkland who were there and who know people who were killed will be dealing with long-term trauma issues.
Yes, I went to assist with Parkland on one day, and not too many people came because they were attending funerals. but I spoke to a man who worked at the hotel where I was situated, and he said his son was fine at the beginning, like for a few days. This was about 4 days later. And after that, his son started having reactions. So I guess that's the acute
that's
stress. At
normal.
First he was numb. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So what I want to say is, what would you suggest to tell a father who's dealing with a son or a daughter, a child that is having the stress?
Well, it's really important to normalize it instead of pathologizing it, especially with teenagers. I had a program for teenagers whose fathers were killed in the World Trade Center, and we started the program a few years after 9/11 because teenagers tend to withdraw and shut down, especially when there's media involved. You know, these kids who we're seeing on TV represent a very small percentage of kids who are already in leadership positions in their schools. Most kids want to shut down. They don't want to talk about it. And so if you're a parent, it's just important to kind of observe them, make sure that they are alternating between rest and exercise, monitor them to make sure that they're not using surreptitiously, using recreational drugs or drinking alcohol. Make sure that they hydrate properly, get drinking water or eating foods that have a lot of water in them, because you can get dehydrated very easily and then that'll cause some mental confusion. Alternating rest and exercise is very important. And I have emotional first aid tools, and there's one of them that's an MP3 that will be available actually by tomorrow morning, which you can sign up for at mindbodynetwork.com. That's mindbodynetwork, one word, .com. And if you click on the bonus offer, we will send it to you tomorrow. And it's an MP3 that's an emotional first aid tool to quickly diffuse panic and reduce acute stress.
Oh, that's fantastic. People need something right away to have handy.
Yes. Right. People need it. You know, to learn from first responders who have to deal with, they deal with versions of Parkland, on a regular basis, whether it's a fire or an ambulance call to a car accident or an industrial accident, that they have a certain mindset. People who live in other countries and other cultures, ranging from the UK to Israel to people who are indigenous, both in North and South America, have different values and different mindset. And the five gifts are very much integrated into their thinking. And so they're able to endure long periods of upheaval and long periods of, if necessary, repression or long periods of recovery after major natural disasters. So the five gifts are really cross-cultural and universal to all spiritual traditions. And I think that we really need to absorb them so that we're ready for the long-term healing process.
I did watch a poignant interview with Christiane Ampour. She's interviewing people about sex around the world. And this was in Lebanon. And some of the women there were talking. They get their hair done and makeup every single day. They don't know if it's going to be their last day. They've had so many bombings and traumas. So that's how they're coping with it.
Yes, women of a certain class. I had friends who are Lebanese, and every year they went to Paris for a month to have all their suits and dresses and gowns made for the season. So it's a certain class of women in Lebanon. And, putting makeup on and getting dressed as if you're going to work, really believe is a big help, because when you look good, you feel good. And it's very easy to neglect your appearance when you're in survival or when you're in shock. But that's a good way to start to come out of it and facing the world with a face that you've paid some attention to, not because you want to impress anybody, but just because if you look good, you'll feel good.
Mm-hmm. That was the experience that they were having. So anyway, tell us about the five gifts in a little more detail.
Yeah. The five gifts are humility, patience, empathy, forgiveness, and growth. Humility, you know, is really the one that, you know, this is a culture that doesn't really value humility, because we in general tend to value fame, as witness, you know, the number of people who are trying to promote themselves on social media for really no reason other than they want to be famous. So fame and promoting yourself from an ego point of view, look at me, I'm the greatest, buy my products, that's very much an American value, and there's nothing wrong with ambition. But when something catastrophic happens, you're going to find that, you know, your ambition tends to get truncated very, very quickly. And so humility is really the gift that gets us from saying, why me, to why not me? In other words, had to happen to someone. And things like this, humility is really the first noble truth of the Buddha that says, you know, to be human is to suffer. And everybody is going to suffer a trauma, a traumatic event at some point or another. So then we go to patience. And patience is the gift that helps us get through it when it doesn't go away quickly. Patience lets us be calm and steady when we don't know how long it's going to be before we stop hurting. So patience is a really wonderful gift. It's like, it's really like pouring, you know, balm on a wound that's very fresh and raw. The third gift, empathy, is the one that you usually see right after a disaster. You know, it's where everybody pitches in, and it's the feel good, you know, it's of all the gifts, it's the only feel good gift that people want, because it feels good when you do it. You connect with people, you rescue somebody, you feel good. And when I say that empathy is needed for the long haul, the difficulty with empathy is that in our culture, the help cycle lasts 2 months, and then people move on. And they start telling the people who are still wounded, whether it's your wife, your girlfriend, your husband, your lover, your kid, what's wrong with you? You should be over it by now. So we kind of have a collective attention span of 2 to 3 months after a disaster. But people don't begin to grieve until well after the first year. So patience and empathy, sustainable empathy, is very important. In other words, being there for connecting and being there with people for the long haul. Forgiveness is really, again, I don't think it should be a noun. I think forgiveness is a verb, as in forgiving. And when we're in a forgiving state, we can perhaps forgive ourselves, which is really the hardest part of the process, because we weren't able to prevent whatever happened from happening, and because we're not able to prevent ourselves from feeling whatever we're feeling. Or it took time. Some people actually went. I led a couple of rituals at the ocean on the Barrier Island where I was living, so that we could forgive the ocean and ask the ocean, you know, to forgive us, because certainly, you know, we have not treated the water and the ocean with respect. And then the final gift is growth. And as a bioorganism, we're always growing. We're always growing. Your cells are reproducing at this very minute. And growing is, it's a natural biological and psychological and spiritual process. And we will reach a point, most people, I would say 2/3 of people, will reach a point where they can look back on the event and say, that was really horrible. I would never wish it on anyone. But if it hadn't happened, I wouldn't have learned this. I wouldn't have found you. I wouldn't have discovered this about myself. So you can actually, you know, look at it from a position of looking back on it instead of looking at the world through the prism of, or the filter of, that disaster. So growth
it's
is what liberates us.
It's beautiful if
us.
Someone goes through that whole process and develops those five gifts. But what about the one that I think is probably the hardest, is forgiveness? What if they can't forgive?
Well, I think, you know,
or
we tend to think of forgiveness as, well, if you're not ready, I mean, these are gifts, they're not laws. I mean, if you're not ready to forgive, you know, nobody can force you to forgive. And I'm not suggesting that, you know, people who lost somebody at Parkland should be forgiving Nicholas Cruz, or that the people who lost somebody in 9/11, you know, should forgive the attackers. But I think that forgiving, if we think of it as a verb, is a process. And maybe today we can forgive 2%, and maybe tomorrow we can forgive 30%, and maybe someday we'll forgive 80%. And then go back to 2%. So it's a state of being. It's not a noun that you can measure. It's not an on-off switch. So when we live in a more forgiving state, then we can forgive ourselves for our you know, what we consider to be our own wounds, or still being hurt after 2 years. We can forgive other people who are being insensitive. And believe me, I don't know anybody who has been through a catastrophic event who has not experienced some shocking insensitivity. So, you know, there are a lot of layers to be forgiving after a catastrophe: the insurance company, the bank, the vendors that you're going to deal with, you know, the body shop mechanics, the water mitigation people. So there may be many different layers of interaction where being in a forgiving state is going to help you get through it with less irritability.
So any final words for our listeners of what they can do if they run into some traumatic problem?
Well, I think take a deep breath. I would like to recommend that in the book, The Five Gifts, the final appendix is a tear-out sheet that has some quick tips that you can use during and after a catastrophe. So I got the idea for it from a Georgia SWAT team that I was in a training with. It was a suicide prevention training. And they put together a handout for acute stress that you can fold it into quarters and stick it in your pocket. And I've designed one of those, which is a tear-out sheet at the back of the Five Gifts. So just tear it out and put it in your wallet, or take a picture and keep it in your phone. And so you always have a reminder of two or three things that you can do quickly, you know, when you need to calm down.
Oh, that sounds great. And And so how can our listeners get your book? How can they get that free report, the MP3 rather? And also, how could they contact you if they would like to have a session?
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate I really appreciate your having me on the show. You can order The Five Gifts on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and it is in the stores. You can also find out about my book talks and media appearances. I'll be on Coast to Coast AM with George Noory tonight, and Dan Rather's America next Tuesday, 10:30 AM, channel 102 on Radio Andy. So you can get that schedule at laurienadel.com/5gifts, period HTML, or just go to laurienadel.com. And there's a contact button, or you can email at 5gifts@laurienadel.com. So thank you again for asking.
And also, 5 gifts, is it a number 5 or the word 5?
It's the word 5, and you can also get your free bonus gift, the Emotional First Aid Tool, by going to mindbodynetwork.com and scroll down until you see the 5 gifts, and there's a sign-up box, and we will send you the MP3. It may not be active until tomorrow morning, but we will have it available for you.
Wonderful, Lori. You're offering such value that the world really needs.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Erica. I'm very grateful for the opportunity to speak with you and to speak to all of you who are listening.
Thank you so much for being on the show today.
My pleasure.
And to those
of
you listening.
Thanks again.
Oh, yes, thank you. And to those of you listening, I look forward to speaking to you again soon.